Hey guys, welcome to the Service Without Excuses podcast here on a Monday evening. I'm glad to be with you. Want to again thank our sponsor, Sotellus. You can go to sotellus.com/Rob Lyon. It's R-O-B-L-Y-O-N. And you can find out some more information about what I believe is the best review management software on the planet. We use them in our own business here in New Jersey. And they're really good at making sure that your information, your reviews that people give you and the feedback is not just good for your future growth of your business, but if you're not necessarily fulfilling on what your clients feel is the best in their best interest, you can also fix it very quickly, which makes it kind of nice. So people are going online today to read reviews. If you're not sure about that, I could tell you that is the future of the business. So look up sotellus.com/Rob Lyon, and you'll find out a little bit more about them. And we have a great guest on tonight from out in Salt Lake City, Utah, Devin Miller. What's going on, brother?
Oh, not too much. Just living the dream and enjoying every minute of it.
How is the weather in Salt Lake right now?
You know, it's been a weird few months. You know, we had a light winter and then it snowed quite a bit last week, and then got warmed up and then it rained. And then, so it's kind of trying to decide between winter and spring, and it seems like the weather can't quite make up its mind.
I believe it, man. That's the West Coast. I grew up in the mountains if you want to call it mountains. So the Eastern Seaboard really doesn't have mountains. When you get out that way, those are mountains. We got hills over here. And I always loved it. It's a beautiful place, man. The mountains around it and Salt Lake area is just absolutely incredible. So I really appreciate you being here today. One of the things that makes it unique about having you on this is you are actually the first legal advisor or any person of legal experience that has been on here. And I was just talking, we were talking briefly before we got on the recording about my niece that is putting a product together. Actually, I think has put a product together at this point regarding a particular type of rose water and stuff and better higher ingredients. And I said, well, you know, you go into companies like Trader Joe's and they have something like this, but what's the difference between yours and hers? I says, well, they're using more of a diluted ratio and mine's more pure. And I says, well, that's good. Whatever you're putting behind that, you need to make sure you protect and talk to patent attorney, because it's not a copyright issue. So it's ironic we're here and talking about this, but a lot of service business professionals, a lot of people listen to this podcast, are interested to protect their intellectual property. They're thinking about maybe they have a tagline, maybe they have a saying that they don't want somebody to steal or rip off. One of the most genius ones I ever heard, and they did do it, was my partner, my buddy Frank Hess, when he co-owned a business with his father, and their tagline was, "We always show up." You'd think that would be nothing unique, but people try to steal that. They try to put their little spin on it and say, well, we show up as well. You know, whatever they did in particular, they were trying to rip it off. And they're like, no, we have an actual trademark on this saying. And and people, entrepreneurs are naturally gifted toward, an entrepreneur, not a business owner, but an entrepreneur is naturally gifted toward looking for things that make them unique, that stand out and stick out. And they're always thinking, their brain really never completely shuts off. So I think this would be a valuable resource to a lot of our listeners, understanding a little bit more about what you do. So before we go any further, why don't you explain to our listeners a little bit about your background and, of course, your specialty?
Yeah, so always the shortest questions that have the longest answers. So I'll try and keep it reasonably short. I mean, background is one where it's a bit more diverse. And so on the family side, been married for 13 years, a father of four kids, ages 5 to 10, and oldest is a boy, youngest or three younger girls. So that's a bit on the family side. As far as the education side, so I got 4 degrees, which my wife always jokes is 3 degrees too many. So I got a electrical engineering degree, Mandarin Chinese degree, a Master's of Business Administration, or an MBA, as well as my law degree. And so I kind of like to split the deck a bit on the education side. And then within the passion, I always kind of have two things. So I loved entrepreneurship, startup, small businesses. So I've done several of those, continue to do several of them, everything from small kind of fun family businesses to much larger ones that are now, one's a 9-figure business, a couple others are 7- and 8-figure businesses. Wow. And then as well as I do, a large part of my focus is on the Miller IP law, which is the legal side. side. So I started my law firm about 3 years ago. Before that, I worked with some of the largest law firms in the nation, worked for clients including like Amazon, Intel, Red Hat, Ford, and others. And then really found that I love doing startups and small businesses, and I also loved having those as clients. And so that was really when I shifted and did Miller IP Law. It was with the idea I want to start a law firm that really focuses on those type of clients, because I want to give them, you know, oftentimes in the business community, they're especially in the legal community, the ones that are overlooked. They're not getting the same level of attention as the big clients, because the big clients have a lot more work and are paying higher billables than that. So that was really the focus of Miller IP Law, is bringing the same level of service, or really better level of service, than what the big law firms do, but making it approachable and understandable for startups and small businesses.
I think it's, you know, you've got to be very specific in every business. And like we're discussing before, law, business law is a very, very broad term. I'd imagine even in patent law and copyright law, it's a very, very broad term. But I think people need to understand that it's important to come up with ideas and philosophies and things that really surround the core values of their business and what their business is about. But it's important to protect what that is too as well, and understand what you have to do. What is some advice you can give to a person? Let's, again, we talk about service businesses that are on here. A lot of these guys are coming up with creative ideas, but they need to be protected from themselves. It's one thing to have your business set up, you know, as a sole proprietor that's opened themselves to massive liability or somebody.
Don't do that.
Exactly. I've had a client that is sizable, that literally was a sole proprietor. I says, are you crazy? He has the $1 million house, but he's got his sole proprietorship. I'm like, dude, pay some taxes, be done with it. you can't be playing games with that. But can you explain the difference between protecting yourselves? And obviously, again, as a corporation, you're setting yourself different. That's a certain amount of liability that you're separating yourself from. But also, your ideas, your brainchild, your things that you're trying to create in your business.
Yeah. So there's a couple questions in there, so I'll kind of answer them. One is, to your point, don't do a sole proprietorship, or just do a DBA or something where you're really just doing it by yourself. And I'll get into the patents, trademarks, copyrights, but just as a general piece of advice, you know, that, to your point, opens you up to massive liability, in the sense that generally, if you don't have, you know, an LLC, an S corp, a C corp, or something of that nature, if you're just doing it as, hey, I started my own business, doing it in my own name, or I'm doing a sole proprietorship, right? You know, just have all the income and I'm doing it out of my house type of thing. Problem is that you ever get sued, and that could be everything from, you know, you have somebody that used your product, got sick, they got hurt, they had an allergic reaction, you infringed somebody's trademark or patents, or you had a dispute over contracts, a number of things. If you don't do anything there, then it opens you up to liability, because they can come after your house, car, personal savings, anything else. Everything that's yours is also your business. Everything your business is yours, and there is no dividing line. So the reason you do an LLC, an S corp, or a C corp is to give that layer of protection, that if they were to ever come after you, the worst they could do was come after your business. In other words, you have a layer of protection. They can't come after your house, personal savings, or anything else. Difference between LLC, S corp, C corp, that gets into more of, one, do you want to have equity? Do you want to have shares? How you want to set it up for taxes? All of those are ones that I would probably go into, either look at a business structure, how you want to structure it, and on the tax side, go talk to a CPA or a tax attorney. But that would be kind of the first thing to start out. Now, when you get that and say, okay, at least I've got an LLC or an S corp or C corp, something set up to protect my personal liability, then when you're looking to protect and grow your business, you can really, you know, whether it's a service, any type of business, and service included, is look and see what the core of your business is. And so then you say, what is the core of my business? And then how I'm going to protect it. So let's say you created the next best widget, even if you're in a service based, you know, business, we work with a lot of them, they'll create products. We have a great, you know, client that's in the carpet cleaning business, and they created a new thing that leaves zero resin. It's really, you know, it's groundbreaking, makes your carpet cleaning a lot better, more natural, more healthy. And so they created a product, even though they're a service-based business, and that falls under a patent. So patents are really anything you invent, anything you come up with that has a utility, a functionality. If you go now to service, which a lot of times is on the branding side, which is, that falls under trademark. So if you think anything that's on the branding, whether it's name of the company, a logo, catchphrase, you know, something that's, you know, anything with branding falls under trademarks. And the last thing you're going to look at is on copyrights, which you're more on the creative. So if you take a great video, a great photo, a great picture, sculpture, painting, write a book, write a manual, do a podcast, anything of that nature is on the creative side, that falls under copyrights. And so first thing I would give is if you're at a business, but when you're starting to look at how to protect, understand what where your business, the core of the value is, and then start to work your way out and say, what do I need to protect in order to make sure that the core is protected? If I'm a brand business and we just have great customer service, we have a great reputation, great marketing, go for protecting your brand with the trademark. If you create a new great, you know, breakthrough technology or great or breakthrough product that really is going to set you apart, get a patent. If you're going to, hey, you have some really great content, you have a viral video that is everybody loves to watch and everybody laughs at and it drives a lot, then get a copyright. But that's where I would start, to strategize as to what's the core of your business and then go about protecting it.
You know, two of the things, obviously, I own a multi-truck carpet cleaning business here in New Jersey, and two of the biggest carpet cleaning firms, and I think I can pretty much speak on one of them, is called ChemDry, which is big from the Salt Lake City area. They've been around for a long time. They're probably the biggest franchisor of carpet cleaning services probably in the world at this point. Another one is a company called Zero Res, I'm pretty sure, and that's they're also based in that Salt Lake area, and they do have some unique things to them. I came from Stanley Steamer, which was around for a long time, 10 years with them to be precise, and they were very interested in protecting their assets, their intellectual property, their equipment, their products, their cleaning solutions. No matter what it was, everything was protected. And a lot of these companies, that's how they become that way. And if you're the future company of tomorrow and you happen to be a carpet cleaning company or a plumbing company or a pest control company, and you've got an idea, maybe that hasn't come to point, hasn't become a major chain yet, but you say, you know what, I got a good idea, I've got a business in a box, I've got a system behind it, and I want to take this thing and I want to possibly franchise it, or at least a licensing, which obviously has a lot less requirements in different states. Every state has a little bit different requirement. But they've got to have these things together to be able to put that in a box, right down to their manuals, their procedures, their operations manuals, human resources. And every state obviously differs a lot. So there's a lot of variables to this, but ultimately, when you've done that and you've built that up, you have a system in place. You have an efficient system in place that creates a lot of value in your business. And as we're talking here, I'm thinking about that. Even if you didn't go the franchising route, which is perfectly fine, and somebody was wanting to be an independent business, that's fine. But you still want to protect that, because eventually you're either going to pass it on to somebody, maybe a child, maybe a friend, maybe your wife, husband, whatever that happens to be. Or you're going to decide to sell it. And if you don't have these things in place that protect it, I would think the value of your business goes down quite quickly.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And that's, you kind of hit on there. A lot of times, you know, you may start just a small or a local business or something that you just, you know, enjoy and, you know, have a hobby on and say, you know, or, you know, it's a small business and you're happy and that's where you do it. But a lot of times, as you mentioned, you trip into it is, hey, I'm looking to retire. I'm bringing on the next generation. I'm just a family business. My kids are taking over, or I pass on and my wife takes over, or I look to retire and I want to, you know, sell the business. And then, you know, if you haven't been capturing all of that, you know, all of the processes, all of the information, what's proprietary, what's unique about you, then a lot of times the problem that businesses have is, as you remove yourself from the business folds up and dies because it's so centric around you that you're not able to extricate yourself. In other words, all the business, the value of the business is you, and you leave the business isn't worth anything. And so you're not able to retire and move on and sell or do anything else. And so I think that, you know, getting those outlining those processes, getting those franchise agreements or those licensing agreements in place, protecting the brand, getting a trademark or a patent or whatever it is, and all those things that really build your business, and then looking how to make it so it's not built around you as an individual, but rather as a system or as a team or as other things, such that it allows you to capture that value, so that whenever you decide to do with the business, that you're able to capture that value and you're not able to say, this is so dependent on me that I can never do anything else with it.
Gotcha. So thinking about something here, you said something very profound, proprietary. Now, I've heard people talk about that term quite a bit, and it's almost like Lucy, like we got a proprietary product, and a proprietary product, from what I understand, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is a protected thing. It's not like, well, you can go to Chicago in particular, Midwest, and Chicago, everybody's got a secret ingredient in their food, secret this, secret that. It's our But they'll use the name proprietary, and I'm like, protected and proprietary or a secret blend is one thing, but a proprietary product or service, I think, would be something a little bit different. Can you explain to our listeners what the difference is between that?
Yeah, I mean, proprietary in a general sense includes all that. I mean, that's what makes, you know, it's almost your secret sauce, what makes you special or different or unique from other individuals. So if you were to take, you know, Pepsi or Coca-Cola, they have a, what they would say, proprietary recipe, in the sense that nobody really knows, you know, if you were to look at it, and according to them, if you were to believe them, only two people ever know the recipe to Coca-Cola. And if anybody passes on, they always, or they have a special way, ceremony under lock and key to pass on that information, but very few. So that is proprietary and it's unique, but often, you know, that's going to be probably the more fringe type of definition of proprietary, because most businesses don't have something that's such under lock and key. But usually when you look at proprietary is what is unique to your business that's protectable. In other words, hey, if you have something that's unique to you, but anybody can knock it off, anybody can, you know, copy it, anybody can do anything with it, it's really not proprietary. It's just they don't know about it yet. When I always, at least for me, when I was thinking proprietary, it's more of, hey, we have something that's unique, that's different, that sets us apart, that people are willing to pay for, and that we can protect such that people aren't going to just be able to easily copy. And that's when you get into proprietary is, and that can be everything from, it is a secret sauce or secret recipe. It can be, what's your proprietary about? So we have a really strong brand that people trust and they identify with, that people aren't able to copy because we have a trademark, or we have a database of individuals and clientele that we built a close relationships with over a long period of time, and such that, yes, while they could go and or copy our business model, because they don't have all the clientele, they don't have all of the resources, they don't have all the connections, they can't copy us. Or it can be, hey, we created the world's best widget and we're going to make sure that we have it locked down with patents, such that that's proprietary. So nobody else can create what we're creating or sell what we're selling, because it's unique to us and we protect it. So that's when I kind of look at proprietary. While it can have that very large and encompassing definition, it really, for most people, is going to be that or smaller scope.
So also another thing to think about, patents are not forever. Copyright's not forever. So a big thing is, okay, they hire your firm and they say, you know, I want to get this copywritten, or I want to get a trademark put onto it. And they think it's done. They think, I've filed it, I've hired a legal advisor, and we did it right, and it's done. And it's not done. And I really want to dive into that a little bit more, that it's not a one and done with anything, especially legally. Yes, you can set up a will or a trust, and that's pretty much going to be, without some variations, it's going to be permanent. But most things when it comes to the law, from what I understand, again, please correct me if I'm wrong, they're not permanent. You have to make sure you maintain them. It's just like... You know, I got to make sure I maintain my vehicle, because if I use the vehicle too much and I don't change the oil and I don't change things out into it, eventually it's going to fall apart. I would think that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I like that analogy. And to kind of give a walkthrough, and generally you're right, a will or a trust or something of that, unless your estate changes or you buy or sell something or drastically, that generally covers it. It's a little bit one and done, although you still want to make sure you periodically update that. But now when you get to patents, so patents, I'll kind of walk you through a couple of the scenarios. Patents are 20 years from the time you file. Assuming you get a patent, you have up to 20 years. You also have to pay maintenance fees with the government. Basically, the government is looking for ways to make revenue. And so they say, every so often, at 3.5 years, 7.5 years, 11.5 years after your patent issues, you have to pay ongoing maintenance fees. In other words, saying, I'd like to continue to enforce and keep my patent application active, or patent issued patent active. If you don't, then it goes abandoned and it's no longer enforceable. Copyrights are kind of the same thing. Now, they're much longer. It's usually 70 years plus the life of the author. So that one's, you know, quite a bit longer. In other words, as long as you're alive, your copyright, if you registered, if you created, is going to be doing it. And even after you die, the next generation, your family, has a pretty long period of time within which they can, you know, maintain the copyright. So it's not forever, but it's a lot longer. And trademarks are the one that are unique, in the sense, as long as you're continuing to use a trademark, that one is indefinite, and that you have to continue to use it. You can't stop for, you know, 5 years and say, oh, I'm going to pick it back up. If there's a, you know, an unreasonable gap, if it's more than, you know, a small thing that you're saying, hey, it's really justifiable, we're still using it, there's a small gap. As long as you're not stopping to use it, you can keep using a trademark for forever. So if you think of companies that have been around a long time, think of a Disney or a Coca-Cola or a Pepsi or a, you know, pick your company, or a Ford or whatever, they have their trademark. They're still using it. It's been over 100 years and they continue to use it, because there isn't that expiration. So most things are done, you know, but even trademarks, you have to periodically still show that you're continuing to use it, that you're continuing to actively use the brand and, you know, keep it active, because if you don't, then it can do it. The other thing with trademarks is you have to actively patrol. In other words, if you just say, yes, we have a trademark, but you let everybody in the world continue to use the trademark, you never enforce it, you never do police it or control it, pretty soon that can also erode into the layers of protection. So I like your analogy of you really need to maintain them in different forms and variations, and they all have different lanes in order to continue to keep that protection and what's proprietary for your business.
And that's what Service Without Excuses was from. It was basically the tagline to my business, my cleaning business. And I sat down, we did this commercial, and it's, you know, we walked across this annoying hologram video, but the volume was low. You ever watch it, the hologram, it's kind of thing of the past now. Hologram walks out, you start talking to people and you kind of encourage them why you should use the product or service. And you're kind of done. It's finished. But I had to come up with a real quick three-word tagline. So Service Without Excuses is what we felt we gave customers. We gave them the certain level of service we felt they deserved, and to the level they expect us to deliver. And we did it without excuses, because nobody likes excuses. They don't like things that are, you know, not gonna happen. They don't like think you when things are not gonna form the way they're supposed to. They don't want to hear it. Nobody has time for excuses. So we did that, and I had to learn that, because I went, I got to re-up this. And they're like, no. As long as you continue to use it, you maintain it. It's got something on it. You did the book. You did the. It's kind of identifiable from that standpoint. But yes, I was told that if you let things go and lapse, it can be an issue down the road. So you've got to make sure you continue to support what it is. What are some of the common things that maybe business owners in particular, you know, the service industry, so it's again, a tremendous advantage to our listeners. What are some of the things they need to really look out for when it comes to, I'm not talking the legal protection end, even though that's important, and you did discuss that, and thank you for that ahead of time. But what are some of the things they really need to think about when they're trying to build that brand and they're trying to build this iconic name? They want to be the Amazon of tomorrow. They want to be the ChemDry of tomorrow. They want to be the Roto-Rooter of tomorrow. They want to be whatever they're going to be. And they may have a great idea and something that is unique to them that they're just kind of in development. You know, people come to these businesses with engineering degrees or engineering background. They come up with innovative ways to come up with something. They may have something that is unique, that is that emerging brand of tomorrow that a friend of mine always says. What are some of the things that our listeners could learn from that and should look out for when they're trying to build themselves as an emerging brand of tomorrow?
Yeah, and I like how you set that up. You know, aside from legal, which we just talked on as far as things they can consider, one of the things, at least in my personal experience and kind of running several different businesses and that, is that the thing that often gets overlooked is on customer service side. And I'll give you an example, because the legal industry is absolutely horrible at customer service. So if you're to think of the general, if you to reach out to an attorney, average is, anytime you reach out to an attorney, it takes 3 to 5 days before they ever respond back. That means if you call them and you say, hey, I got a legal matter that's urgent, or you say, hey, I want to give you some money and pay you and hire you, or it says, hey, I've got a question, you email them, you text them, you call them, it takes 3 to 5 days. That means if I start on Monday, I reach out to, I might not hear back till Friday or the following Monday if I'm lucky. And, you know, it's that level. And the reason is because you get a lot of attorneys that are very focused being good at the legal aspect. And hey, I can do a job, I can do it well, I don't want to have to worry about customer service. So they don't respond, they don't think about it. And I find that even, you know, across a lot of service industries, not just legal, that's just one that I'm using as an example. Same thing if you've ever built a house and you go to a contractor and you want to talk with the contractor and they give you excuse after excuse, or they don't return your call and you have to chase them down multiple times and they say it'll be done by this date, and then you have to follow up and it's not done by that date, and they say it'll be done by, and you know, it's that customer service. And that was one of the things that, you know, I think sets you apart more than probably most businesses. And that's why a lot of people like Amazon. Amazon has quick shipping. They are easy to get refunds on. They're easy to return things. That's why people like Costco, and it's easy to go and return things and they ask a few questions, and that difference of customer service. Now, one of the things that I found, at least in the legal industry, but I think it is applicable across the board, is sometimes it's hard to have enough hours in the day to get everything done. And so oftentimes customer service will slip because you're saying, oh, I got so many, I got emails to respond to, I've got, you know, phone calls to follow up on, I've got to actually do the service that I'm committing myself to, and not, you know, and on and on and on. And so one of the things I found is that, you know, if you actually, I'm a big believer in automating the things that can be automated, such that it frees up your time time when you don't, for the things that you can automate, for when you do need that human touch, that you do need to actually contact or reach out, you know, and have that contact and reach with them directly and that have that human experience. And so I think, you know, having a high level of customer service and looking at the customer journey, I would say not customer service isn't just, hey, we pick when they call, we pick up the phone and we talk with them, but it's all the way along their journey from before they even start to interact with you all the way till after the interaction, after you provided the service. What is that journey? What are the touch points? How can you best serve them? And then say, okay, now along that journey, where are the places I can automate that they don't need the human touch, but they still need to hear from me? What are the places I need to contact them, have that personal interaction? And that, to me, is probably even more than the legal side, sets you apart as a business more than anybody else.
Well, definitely. And you brought up a good point. I just had a guest on before, and we talked about automation in a business. You know, you should transfer out anything you don't do well. You should sub that out, you know, whatever it happens to be. Automate your business on systems. And have people that handle certain things. Like I'm looking at an app right now that I'm thinking about for the carpet cleaning business. And it's completely, it's an online booking app. Some of the major franchises are actually using some of these systems. And I think it's the future of what it is. But people just want to go online. They want to get the information. They want to book it. And they want to be able to just move on with it because that's the type of customer. The customer doesn't necessarily need to speak to you anymore. They can, mm-hmm. they can go online. Like, you know, I use the example, like you just brought up Amazon, you know, the old day of you need to get them on the phone and you got to sell to them and you got to tell them about all the benefits and all the reasons they need to do it. Listen, I care about that, but I'm also 50 years old or close to 50 years old. So at this point, you know, yes, I think it's a great thing to have a good communication, but communication has changed. It's not the communication of the past where you have that. Yes, if I get somebody on the phone, I can sell them on the service. I can sell them on the product, and that's great. But they care less about that today than they used to. They like the convenience of going online, just going, I need this, 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 and this. Mm. And I think if your business is set up where you're looking at the efficiency of your business and how to make sure all these different components and parts are taken care of and are in a systematic order, you can accomplish a lot more. You know, the term is outsourcing, and you should outsource what you're not really great at. And that's something I think you've really capitalized upon. You've stuck to a certain area of law, which is massive, and you're very specific, but your understanding of those very specific, unique, niche things is outstanding. And that's what's beneficial to a customer. Somebody can do it. You're not just talking to somebody that's, you know, handled a divorce or handled this. It's a huge market. You need to make sure when you're talking to a professional that you're talking to somebody that actually understands the specific needs and handles that niche, that specific part of their business life. So I really want to thank you so much for being on today. You really gave us a bunch of inside information, not just on market, but a lot of things that can help service businesses grow and protect their business interests. How can our listeners find out a little bit more about you? I'm going to put some things in the show notes and obviously some more information in detail. But how can they find out about you from listening to this podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll give them a couple different ways that they can reach out. One is if they just want to find out general information about, you know, intellectual property, our fees, kind of what, you know, and we have a lot of learning resources on our website. I just go to our website in general. There's a lot of great information there. You can go to lawwithmiller.com, all one word. And that kind of directs you to their main website and you can get a lot of information. Now, if they also want to reach out and have a more specific, we do free strategy meetings where we sit down, we'll go through, answer some questions, strategize with them. And, you know, that's everything from, you know, one of the biggest things we found is people are always worried to go into an attorney because they figure as soon as they go in, the bill's going to start running. They're going to pay hundreds of dollars and they're going to walk out and say, well, I didn't really need any of that, or that was a waste of money type of thing. So we offer strategy meetings that you can come sit down with us free of charge, talk through what you're doing, get a strategy and get it in place. And whether it's starting today, starting in 6 months or a year, or never starting, we kind of get that. For to do with that, you can just go to strategymeeting.com, all one word, strategymeeting.com. That links right to my calendar. People can go on, they can grab some time or time to chat, set some time or time aside, and it makes it easy or an easy way to connect up and get a kind of that one-on-one session.
Well, I appreciate it very much. And I'll make sure I link and put some more information up, but please reach out. He can be a tremendous resource for your business, and finding out legally what you need to do to protect what you have. Again, just think about, don't think about just the business assets. Think about your intellectual property and the real value of your business when you go to sell it. There's a reason a lot of the franchise companies sell for a lot more than independents. Even to this day, where franchises are not as big of a thing as they've been in the past, they at least have a system of business in the box, things that are protected. If you're going to sell your business for any real tangible value, you got to look at the physical assets of the business. Can somebody come in and steal everything you've got in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year? Have you protected those things? Have those things become unique? It's not just about protecting it from employees. It's not just about protecting your liability, but it's protecting your intellectual property in your business. Because without that, you really don't have anything. You're just Jim's carpet cleaner or Bob's plumbing or whatever. You have nothing that's unique. So think about things like that. And again, please feel free to reach out. Devin will be glad to help you out and take advantage of that. Devin, thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate you being here on the podcast. And again, everyone, thank you so much for joining us on the Service Without Excuses podcast, sponsored by Sotellus, sotellus.com/Rob Lyon, L-Y-O-N. Always got to say that because sometimes it's L-I-O-N, people put it in. But they sponsor, so they're an incredible review management software that really helps build your brand and build your position in the marketplace. People rely and trust what they read from others, and that's the future, and that's really one of the best marketing secrets a person can do. So thank you again so much, Devin. Been a pleasure, man. Please be safe.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, brother.